went to college here. It's Suffolk.
September 1947.
Mm-hmm. And then when you switched, you just went the next year to...
I was 1 year at Suffolk, and then I went to the University of New Hampshire.
And in that time that you were at the University of New Hampshire, was there a Hillel? Were you active
yes.
in a Hillel?
Yes.
You were?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So again, you were met most of your friends, Jewish contacts there.
Yes.
Was it different for you in New Hampshire than it had been in your home in terms of the Jewish community?
Well, yes, because there were many more Jewish
many
students.
More Jews.
Mm-hmm. Around, and so social
contact. Uh-huh. So did you live at the dorm?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And were you were active in Hillel, or
yes,
you just
I became,
attended?
No, I became an officer in Hillel.
Mm-hmm.
So
was the rabbi who was head of it Reform rabbi?
He was conservative.
Conservative. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't what I'm trying to find out where the influence came, so I was wondering whether he was from the Reform congregations.
I think actually the influence came from, I became interested in Mordechai Kaplan's book.
Wow.
And I had heard him speak, and I wrote to him and asked him about his teachings, and he sent me a copy of The Future of the American Jews.
Oh.
And so, though he was Reconstructionist,
right.
it was a kind of a view that was in the liberal direction,
right.
And I was beginning to grope for a way back.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't come back to Orthodoxy because that was not, didn't make sense to me
mm-hmm.
in the sense of Torah Misinai, you know, that everything
yes.
was given at Sinai. I couldn't accept that any longer, but I was looking for something other than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that put me on the road to eventually find a place in Reform, because in Reform you could be as traditional as you wished, but you could also be liberal.
Mm-hmm. But you never got into a Reconstructionist group at this school?
No,
I don't know if there were or weren't.
Well, actually, there wasn't.
It wasn't, because that was relatively new at that
there
time.
Either. I mean, that, the yeah. whole movement started in 1940.
Oh, I didn't know when it started. I know it was in Philadelphia that they had their school. And they have an interesting group of people who attend the Reconstruction.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
We have one of the youngsters, who's not a youngster anymore, grew up here in Temple David, became a Reconstructionist rabbi.
Oh, so. Under your tutelage?
Yes.
Good. That must have been a proud moment.
Well, we've had six rabbis.
Oh, my. My goodness. You have a lot of strikes pluses along the way. Very good. Now, when you worked at the school, did you talk with that rabbi there in Hillel about your questions? No.
No, because I think at that point I was in the midst of reading and thinking, and it was still mostly private. I was
mm-hmm.
not poking out there
yes.
so much
yeah.
yet.
Yeah. And what, when did you graduate?
I graduated in 1951.
Mm-hmm. And when you graduated, did you go right on for a master's?
Yes, I went on for a master's. And,
right at that same school?
Right at that same school, and I was fortunate enough to be able to be the professor that I wanted to study with. I was able to be his graduate assistant. So, so I really got the
yes.
benefit of not only teaching in the classroom, but
one-to-one being around him.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that professor?
His name was Herbert Carroll.
K or C?
C. C-A-R-R-O-L-L.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an early disciple of Carl Rogers.
Ah.
One of the earliest disciples, yes. And so it was almost like studying with Rogers.
Uh-huh.
And it was wonderful.
Wow.
I learned a good deal. The counseling approach that I learned from Carol just stood me in good stead all the years.
Yes, it has. Yes, I can vouch for that because I know who you sent to us for help. When you finished there, then the decision was made for going into the rabbinical school, but you couldn't go then.
No, I had my master's, mm-hmm. and I was working as a psychologist at Eastern State Hospital in Williamsburg, Virginia. I was a staff psychologist, and I had to decide. I worked there for a year, and I had to decide, would I go back now for a PhD? Because I had to earn some money. I was self-supporting, and I had to earn some money. I was also married at the time. I had just married. And so the question was whether I would go back for a doctorate mm-hmm. or whether I would make a change. And and it was at that point where, for the first time in my life, I was completely separated from the Jewish community. I'd never ever experienced that. Williamsburg had no Jewish community.
Really?
Well, it was a tourist town.
Yeah, I know.
That's all it was. Yeah. So all it was a tourist town, no Jews. And I felt lost. You know, all of a sudden, it was like falling off the planet. And then I realized how important Jewish life was to me and all of that.
That's interesting.
Yes, and it was while listening to an episode of The Eternal Light on a Sunday morning that this came to a head. And I spoke with my wife about it, and I said, well, what do you think about the idea of my going to rabbinical school? And we talked about it and so forth. And the decision was that I would do that rather than go on for a PhD. And so then I applied and was interviewed.
Evidently, you gave her a very good case for your going.
Well, you'd have to ask her.
Yeah, right. Oh, I'm sure. Was your dad alive at the time?
Yes.
Did he have some feeling about your entering the Reform versus another area of Judaism?
Well, I don't
Not
think
Not that you
so.
Had to ask him. I
no,
just wondered if
no,
he gave some no. of his own thinking.
No, I think he was very pleased that I wanted to be a rabbi. And my grandfather was still alive.
Really?
My grandfather was still
alive.
Was
this a paternal or maternal?
Paternal.
Uh-huh.
And he was really my mentor in the sense of being a very influential person for me. And he was clearly Orthodox in every sense of the term. And he raised no objection when I told him that I was going to go to a Reform rabbinical school.
No questions?
No. I mean, he said nothing to me, because he was the kind of man. His orthodoxy was that it was very important to him, but he did not superimpose this on other people.
That's very
never
unusual.
Did. Never.
That's
did.
Very unusual.
Never.
Was your grandma also living at the time?
My grandmother had died at that point. But my grandfather.
Well, he was way ahead of his time.
He was way ahead of his time.
If he was willing to choose, because there was a lot of question about Reform Judaism at that time.
That's right.
It wasn't Jewish.
That's right.
So of course there's still people who think
that's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you and your wife decided this is where you wanted to go. Mm-hmm. Did you also decide how you're going to manage financially when you go to school for 4 years?
That was a very big problem.
I'm sure.
My wife agreed that she would work. And I was fortunate enough to get a position as a psychologist at the juvenile court clinic at Cincinnati. And so I worked full-time in the summers and part-time during the school year. And that's how we made it. So I worked there for 5 years.
And you managed to do that while you were studying?
Yes.
You people worked hard.
Yes, we did.
What did your wife do?
My wife worked as a secretary to the Anti-Tuberculosis League in Cincinnati.
But she kept you going along with yours.
So she did her thing there, and I worked for the Hamilton County Juvenile Court Clinic.
Oh. Was it full time? Was it after school?
Well,
that
it
you
was,
saw the children?
I
assume you saw children.
Yes.
And parents.
Mostly children, and it was it was a rigorous kind of task because on the basis of psychological tests and counseling, I had to make recommendations to the judges to the disposition of the cases. So it was very challenging.
Yes.
Whenever I didn't have class, fortunately they gave me flex time, and so I
the court.
The court did. And they and full time in the summer, but during school time
yes.
it was
flex time. Flex so time. You could kind of put it in when you were able to. That was kind of fortunate.
Oh, it was. We were very fortunate. It was all worked out. And it allowed me to keep my hand in psychology
yes.
all the way.
Which I'm sure was also helping you in your studies at the Benefice School. Because I don't know how many other fellows or women there have that kind of background.
Well, at that time, I think I was the only one.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. And the school didn't object to your doing other things while you were studying?
Well, since they were willing to be paid for tuition payments, they raised no objections.
Yeah, but they accepted you. You see, everybody doesn't get accepted to rabbinical school.
There were some students who were not a great number, not a great number of students were married in those days. Most of the rabbinical students were single and married after they finished rabbinical school. There were a handful of us who were married. In fact, the school had no facilities for marriage.
Oh, they didn't. So
well,
you
not
had
at that
live
time.
Elsewhere.
So we lived, we had our own apartment off campus.
I'm sure there was a very different situation that exists
oh,
there
absolutely.
Today.
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, uh-huh. When did you get married? What year?
We were married in 1952.
Oh,
so
that
it was the year after I graduated from undergrad.
Was your wife from your area of Boston or
no? No, my wife was originally from Germany left Germany just in time and lived in England for a time and then migrated to the United States and she came to Charleston, South Carolina and I met her at a Jewish camp.
You were a counselor?
No, this was the Brandeis Camp Institute.
Oh, in California.
Well, it was in those days they had two. They had one in California and one in the Poconos.
Oh, I didn't know they ever had
Winterdale,
one.
Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the one in the Poconos, and my wife was sent by the Jewish Community Center in Charleston.
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
So she spoke with a U-all accent?
Not at all. She spoke with an English accent.
With an English accent. Oh, so you met at the camp. Well, that was must have been an interesting experience for you just to be at the... Because I've heard people talk about the California.
Oh, it's an extraordinary experience.
Did you select it or did somebody suggest it? And
I was sent by, because of my year at Suffolk. I was active in the Intercollegiate Zionist Federation of America, ITZFA, and I was president of something. And the New England Zionist
sponsored.
So she was sponsored by the JCC in Charleston. I was sponsored by the Zionist.
So was this in your first year at college?
Yeah.
Oh, so you met her. You kind of went together for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
5 years before you went ahead. I see. And was her, were her parents survivors?
Well, they were not, fortunately, they were not in the camps.
Right.
But they got out about a month or two before Kristallnacht.
They really just made it out.
Just made it out.
But she acquired an English accent. They lived longer.
Because they lived in London for 10 years.
So you had a hard interest right through your college years and your master's degree here, and you waited until after that.
Mm-hmm.
Did your mother know her?
No, my mother.
She was not there. I thought maybe during that first year.
No. I met her the summer
after the first year. I see. So when both of you kind of decided, I guess, for you to go to take up that job that you had in Virginia.
Oh, yes.
Williamsburg.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't there.
Yes, she went with me.
Oh, she went with me.
We were already there.
We had already started. And so, was she observant too?
No.
She didn't come from there.
She was from a German assimilationist environment.
I see. Well, they were mostly Reform in Germany, weren't they? Reform, members of Reform?
Some were.
I thought a good many.
But her family, they didn't belong to any sect.
I see. So when you decided for Reform, it was an unknown quantity. Yeah, it was not an irreligious thing to do, or an overtly religious thing to do.
It was neutral.
Uh-huh. Did you have a big wedding?
No, we had a very small wedding.
Was your rabbi there?
Actually, I was married by the Hillel rabbi.
I see. Was your dad there?
Yes.
And your brother? Good. Did you have other relatives, by the way, in Newburyport? Besides your grandparents, I know.
No, only my grandparents. Other relatives lived around, within the radius of Boston.
Cousins?
Cousins, aunts.
Your parents had sisters and brothers, is that
yes.
it?
Yes, my father had six siblings.
Younger?
Younger. He was the, one was older, and the others were all younger.
I see. And your mother? Did she
My
have?
Mother had one, two, three. She was one of four.
I see. Also the oldest? Eldest?
She was the oldest. Yes.
Were you, family-wise, people in contact with them, see them, visit with them?
Definitely.
There was a family contact?
Yes. Every Sunday, we would go to Salem to visit my mother's end of the family, and sometimes they would come to Newburyport to visit our end of the family, the paternal end of the family.
I see.
And then there were aunts and uncles. There was an aunt and uncle in Haverhill, Massachusetts, which was just...
That I have never heard of.
It was 15 miles from Newburyport.
Wow.
So you had family connections. Yes.
Were they observant too?
They were all nominally Orthodox. With
yes.
variations
in practice. Mm-hmm. Do you still have contact with family there?
Well, there's only one survivor, there are two survivors in terms of my father's siblings. One is in Florida,
mm-hmm.
A brother, and a sister still lives in Louisville. In fact, lives in the same house as my grandparents.
Oh, mom.
She's lived all her life there, and she's... from the 89 years old.
Wow. And she stayed there?
She stayed there. That house is over 100 something years old.
Oh, have you visited there?
Oh, yes.
Must be fascinating.
Yes, and I call her once a week.
You do?
Yes, we're very close.
Well, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So the family had enough that even on Yom Tovim they could be together.
Yes,
the
Edelstein family was particularly very strong family.
They were.
And everybody knew that there were expectations with regard to that family. Mm-hmm. There were family loyalties involved, family reputation that was involved.
A good name.
So the Edelstein name carried a lot of weight in it.
And do you have cousins who are still around that you're
yes,
in contact
with? Yes, I have first cousins from the Edelstein side.
Really?
And we are in very close contact.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
And they're all very active in Jewish communities.
Mm-hmm. Was your dad ill before he died too?
He had a heart condition, but it was not incapacitated.
But he died after your grandfather?
Yes, he died. He was 85 when he died. And this was after living in Florida for about 10 years.
And your grandfather died. Was he older too?
My grandfather was, I think, 82.
Oh, probably lived long
yes.
lives. And your dad remarried?
My father eventually remarried.
Were you in contact with your stepmother?
Well, I was already an adult, so it was not a big deal.
But he felt at ease with his decision to remarry?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So he had some pleasant part of his life after your mother passed
yes,
away.
Yes, he was very happy with his second wife.
Mm-hmm. But was he with her a long time before he died?
I would say he was with her for perhaps 15 years.
Oh. So she was really a partner at that time.
Yes.
Was he buried back where your mother was? He did take her back there. Are your grandparents buried there
yes.
too?
Mm-hmm.
So you have still lines
yes.
to that area.
Yes.
When your wife married, were your in-laws there when you had this ceremony with the Hillel rabbi?
No, they couldn't come at that time. They were still getting acclimated to this country. They had just recently arrived.
Yes.
And so it was not possible for them to come.
How old was your wife when she came?
When she came to the United
yes.
States? When she came to the United States, she was, I think she was 20 years old.
And so, well, she was able to go on to do things here. She adjusted relatively well.
Yeah, what happened was that her sister married a GI during World War II who was stationed in England, where the family was, having left from Germany. And so when her sister married this Charlestonian Jew from South Carolina, and the sister and, of course, her husband came to the United States, back to Charleston, then my wife-to-be came over and lived with her sister in Charleston.
And then the parents came later?
The parents came in next.
But did they miss all the problem?
What do you mean, miss the problem?
The problem in Germany.
No, they had left.
They were in
England.
So they came a little later.
But they lived, the family experienced the Blitz and all of that.
Yes, in England, the dark nights.
And they were also separated because they were German. They were Germans. And
yes.
therefore,
English
they
didn't like
they were interned. They were interned, and men and women were separated from one another. And so my wife had, growing up, a good many experiences war.
How old was she when she got to England, do you know?
Well, when she got to England, she was 10 or 11 years old.
Oh, so she really grew up in England.
Yes.
So she knew English by the time she got here? And had a more American-type life before she got here. So she went through all the blitzes and the dark nights and the bombings. And her parents, when they came here, were they at an age when he could work?
Came
to America?
He did work, but it was very difficult because this was his third time starting out. He had a business in Germany, and of course that was lost to the Nazis. And then,
do you know what kind of business he had?
I certainly do. Yes, his family owned a factory in Lichtenfels, which is in Bavaria. LICHTENFELS, Lichtenfels, which is in Bavaria, and they originally made baskets. Because in those days, you didn't ship things in corrugated boxes. You used baskets for shipping. And then they went from that into the manufacture of wooden toys. You know the play school toys?
Yes.
Well, the play school toys got many of their patterns and so forth from this factory. in Germany, from my father-in-law's factory. In fact, we have some of the toys
that he made,
that you know, were made in his factory, and our children played with them, and now our grandchildren played with them.
Wow.
And they you would think that they were play school toys, because they were exactly the same kind of things, mm-hmm. beautifully painted and lacquered and all. So that's what they did. They had a very, I mean, the business was very old. It was a 100-year-old business.
Oh, but he had to give it up.
Well,
did somebody take it over?
Yes, the Germans took it over. The Nazis confiscated. We went back and visited in 1988 in Germany. My wife had never been back. And we went to that factory. And it was an interesting experience, because when we walked in, my wife had an old business card from my father-in-law, and so we were asked whether we had, she said that she wanted to tour the factory, and they said, well, do you have an appointment or something? And she said, no. She said, but you give this card to the person in charge, and they still knew the name. They knew the name, Bamberger, which was my father-in-law. And the head of the company came bounding down the stairs and was very gracious to us and took us around. And so it was an interesting experience,
wow.
Kind of eerie, but very interesting.
Yes. Must have been very hard for her.
It was very hard for her, but very important for her.
Yes.
It provided a closure that she needed.
Yes.
And in fact, we visited the house that she once lived in. We went up to the door, and she knocked on the door, and there was a young girl there, and she was gracious enough to let us in and look at the house. And my wife Eva remembered, well, this was here, and this was there, and this was by one. It was interesting.
That is really close. How about your in-laws? They never went back.
No, my in-laws never went back.
I think that would have been terribly hard.
Also, it was by the time you could go back, it was they were a long years.
I see.
Just,
mm-hmm. That really was interesting that they would have remembered the name.
Do you remember the name?
And Play School took some of the designs on their
well,
own.
Well, it was. I don't know exactly.
You don't
how
know
that,
if it was a business deal.
I don't know exactly how that worked.
Yes.
But I know that they were there. That this company was the precursor to the kind of toys that are made.
Would your father-in-law ever find a place for himself here? Did he ever feel like it was home?
My father-in-law had an interesting philosophy, which was that God takes care of the birds. And so, in some way, God also takes care of the non-birds.
Yeah. I see. The birds came first. Yeah.
And that was his philosophy. So he made the best of whatever it was. And he never spoke in terms of regret over what had happened.
He did.
He was not that kind of person.
Did he get to speak English?
Oh, yes. He spoke English.
Did he leave people back then, Germany? Did your wife leave family?
No, fortunately, the immediate family all got out.
They did.
They all got out because they all left at the same, roughly the same time. And a portion of the family migrated to Israel. And,
they did?
Yes. And the rest of the family, and then my father-in-law had gone to England initially,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of the family come to the United States.
So you had three areas.
Three areas.
To. Did the ones who went to Israel, did they stay there?
Yes. It was my mother-in-law's brother who went to Israel because he was a lawyer. And already in 1933, he could no longer practice law. So he had to leave. So he went to Israel.
I see.
And,
so he was one of the first to get out. And he's remained there?
Well, he died, but his children
are
there. But
they did remain.
The family is there.
How about in England? Did she also leave family in England?
No.
No.
Because the only family in England was the immediate family, my wife's parents.
And her sister.
Her sister, and of course, they had
children. I see. And then, of all places, they went to Charlotte?
Charleston.
Charleston.
Yes, because the husband.
Yeah. I just wondered if they could understand English when they were there. The
well,
way they spoke with their southern accent.
Well, their English was English anyway. So
yes,
it was,
yes. So they stood out for their English. And then after you two met at Brandeis camp, was she, Brandeis, I would imagine, it was a religious type thing too, wasn't it?
Well, it was, I mean, we had the Shabbat experience,
right.
And of course the Kashrut observed.
And living Jewish.
Yes, living Jewish.
Was the purpose of it.
Yeah, so it was, you know, but my wife already had a toe in the Jewish community because because she was the Jewish community center in Charleston.
I see.
She was a little bit familiar with mm-hmm. Jewish life. Mm-hmm. So this was
what did she do at the JCC in Charleston?
She taught dance because in England she had worked for Sadler's Wells, not as a dancer, but in the design department.
And
she did that because she had taken up ballet and she was, mm-hmm. she did dance, but she mm-hmm. never made it, you know, to that.
See. Yes.
But, so she taught ballet and other kinds of dance in Charleston. And so she was sent to learn Israeli dance.